Okay. It's just ordinary. Just by way, first of all, by way of introduction generally to the Megillah of Rus, and then we'll start the first parak, which we'll do this week, hopefully. I'll start with what the Vilna Gaon speaks about. We spoke about this a couple of years ago in Nir Shavuos time, about the name Rus, what the significance of the name Rus. But the Vilna Gaon basically explains that a person is obviously is made, let's go first with Hashem. He says that Hashem has got two middos. Hashem deals with us with two middos. There's middos ha-chesed and middos ha-din. Right? Hashem can do it according to the strict letter of the law, that's middos ha-din. And then there's middos ha-chesed where Hashem goes ahead of the letter of the law, beyond the letter of the law. Now obviously when it comes to middos ha-din, that's the name Shakai. Right? Lashon, expression of die. Right? Which, in other words, when Hashem has to mete out din, he does it with the idea die. What is needed will be needed, but sufficient. Finite. Whereas chesed is always signified, is always contained within the name Havaya, Yudke Vovke, which implies Hoya Hoyabiyah, yeah? Implies ongoing. Always was, is, and always will be. Because Hashem looks, He created the world to do chesed, Elom Chesed Ibana, He built the world to do chesed, therefore Hashem is always wanting to do chesed for us. So, says the Vilna Gaon, we have to follow the same idea. We are made up of a body and a neshama, right? The body's needs have to be with the idea of dai. Right, shakai, die. What we need. And the neshama has to be hoya hoveviyeh, it has to be ongoing. Now, let me just give a moshel which can explain that people could get the wrong end of the stick here. Let me give a moshel to explain why not. You could have somebody, let's say he learns 14 hours a day, and he works 2 hours a day, right? And then you can have somebody who, let's say he works the other way around, right? He works, let's say, 10 hours a day, and he learns 2 hours a day. So if I were to ask you which one's a better Jew, which one's from, you'd say, well, probably the first one. He learns 14 hours a day. It says the Vilna Gaon is telling us that that's not necessarily the case. It could be not. It's a question of what is your outlook in life. Do you look at your spiritual pursuit as that's my purpose in this world, but just I have to live, I have to earn a paranormal, so I have to support a family, I have to, whatever it is, therefore I have to work. Therefore it's an interruption, it's something which I have to do, and if it's an interruption, what I have to do, I'll have to do. Or do you look at it the other way around? That, no, I'm in this world to work and to enjoy this world. Just, look, I feel a bit guilty, I've got to settle my conscience, therefore I'll have to learn, daven a bit. Yeah. You know, it's an interruption, it's annoying to have to do it, but, right? So you can have somebody who's learning 14 hours a day, but it's only to settle, you know, to be able to feel that he's, you know, he's doing something for God as well. So the Vilna Gaon is telling us that that depends. The idea is your neshama has to be higher over the year. That's what you're in this world for. What I have to do is an interruption. It could be the interruptions are longer than the time I had to learn and to daven. That just depends. That's what he's telling us over here. So he says, therefore, what we're going to have here is we're going to see how Elimelech, he left Eretz Yisrael in order to go to the land of Moab. He left there because of famine, right? And as we'll see in a minute, we'll see it's because there was some sort of middle of miserliness, right? He didn't want to give up his money. Now, we obviously have to put in at this juncture that we're not talking about somebody who was an Amor, a big tzaddik. He was somebody who was a big baal tzedakah before this famine, we see what Chazal tell us. So what exactly went wrong is not, we can't be judgmental, we can't suggest. But what we can say is that the Gemara above us seems to say that it was all heaven sent. It was all guided from above. Hashem wanted him that he should go down to Moab in order to pave the way for Rus. Because Rus was going to do exactly the opposite. She was going to leave behind materialism. She was of royal stock, right? She was born, we'll see, a descendant of Eglon, right? Who was the king of Moab. So she was really, she was a princess, she had everything in Moab. It was a land of really, riches and materialism, and she left it all behind in pursuit of what her neshama wanted, what her soul wanted, which was to go up to Eretz Yisrael and discover Hashem. So therefore she went the opposite route, if you want, of Elimelech. Elimelech went from Eretz Yisrael, where his neshama was in the driving seat, and he went down to Moab, and he became one of them, because he didn't want to give. And she went completely opposite. Why do I say, what's this got to do with the neshama and the guf? It's because, again, let's say a person comes knocking at the door, he wants stocker. So now you've got a bit of a conflict and a conflict going on within the person. On the one hand, the person thinks, well, you know, the neshama is saying, look, he's your brother, we're all one big neshama, you know, give to him. The guf is saying, wait a second, you didn't work for the money. The neshama, what works for the money is the guf, right? It's, you know, it slogged, you know, it worked hard, toiled hard. And therefore, it says, look, you go earn the money, why should I give to him? So now, which one's going to win? If the guf wins and you slam the door in his face, don't give him any money, then you've just created a barrier between you and Hashem. Right? The guf now is ahead. Whereas if you give the money, then it means the neshama has taken control. The guf has, if you want, has standing to the side. And therefore, what you've actually done is you've brought your neshama closer to Hashem. Who ultimately, you've done a chesed with yourself, right? He says, the chesed you're doing is really a chesed with yourself. We'll learn this in the Megillah, not in this parak, but we learn from here, that we're going to learn from the Megillah, that when a person does an act of chesed, you're doing a bigger chesed with yourself than you are doing with the person, the recipient. So therefore, because you're drawing closer to Hashem, by drawing closer to Hashem will shower you with chesed. So that's really what's going on here. Elimelech went the way with the guf. The guf stood in front, he wouldn't let him give stalker, whereas Rus went the opposite way, the guf stood to the side, she left it all behind in pursuit of the neshama. And as I said, I'm just using that as an introduction, because if we have time, I'll try and show how this theme runs through the parak quite a few times. So we take a look at Pasuk Aleph, and mainly what I'm going to say is based on the Malbim, Vilna Gaon, and a bit of Rashi, right? Most of it is the Malbim, though. And as I said, with the Vilna Gaon as well. And it was in the days of when the judges were judging. Rashi tells us this was in the times of the judges, was in the period of history before the kings. And this was in the period of the time of the judge called Ibson. Ibson was otherwise known as Boaz, right? Who was obviously going to be a main figure in this Megillah. So it was in those days. That's the opinion of Rashi. Whereas the Malbim, elaborating on the word, says Shofet HaShetim means it was in between judges. There was no control, there was no sense of control, there was no king at that time, there was not even a judge there. Therefore there was a lot of freedom, people could do what they wanted, there was no policing. Vayirov Ba'aretz, and there was famine in the land, so therefore there was a whole state upheaval and everything, because people, now what was going to happen is that the poor people were going to come knocking on the doors of the rich, and they're going to say, either you give us or we're going to take it by force. There's nothing to stop them. That's right. There was going to be a big revolt. As a result of that, Vayelech ish mebeis lechem Yehuda, and a man, as we'll see soon, as Elimelech, he went from beis lechem of Yehuda, he left there lagur b'sdei Moab. He went to sojourn, i.e. temporarily, in the fields of Moab. He didn't even go to, he didn't set up a permanent abode in the city. He went to the fields of Moab. And this was one individual, says the Malbim. It shows you within Klal Yisrael, of all the rich people, there was only one individual who left. And he went to set up, just temporarily, in Sdei Moab, until the famine passed. Hu v'ishto ushnei vanov. He, his wife, and his two children. Right? And as the Malbim points out over here, that his wife and his two children only went, if you want, as subsidiaries. They just followed on as they followed him. They were subordinate to him, so he went, they had to go with him. So out of the whole of Klal Yisrael, there was only one person who left Eretz Yisrael behind. That was Elimelech. As we said, we're not coming to judge him for why he did it. It could be this was, as I said, was all mapped out from Hashem above. So, Pasuk base, V'shem ha'ish Elimelech. And the name of the man was Elimelech. V'shem ishtai Naomi. And the name of his wife is Naomi. You see here, the Malbim points out that what the Megillah is trying to point out is that she was also a very noble woman. She was well known. She was very important. V'shem shenei vanov, Machlon v'Chilion. And the names of his two children were Machlon and Chilion. We'll see soon why they were called those names. Ephrosim, they were of Ephros. Beis Lechem Yehuda, from Beis Lechem of Yehuda. Now, here, is it Ephros or is it Beis Lechem? So, there's two possibilities. Either Rashi gives us two possibilities. Either Ephros is an expression of importance. He brings a posuk where we find such a thing. It's an expression of importance. Or it's the idea is that it was really Beis Lechem, but Beis Lechem was formerly known as Ephros. Malbim brings a posuk in the Torah to suggest that, to back that up. So either way, that's where they came from. Vayavohu sedei Moav, and they came to the fields of Moav, vayehiyu shom, and they were there. Wasn't meaning they were there. So the Vilna Gaon says that you'll notice when they came, they went with the intent to sojourn. But once they arrived in Moav, and why did they choose Moav, I should have said, I think the Vilna Gaon points out, because Moav, as we said, was a place of complete, and it was a lack of spirituality there. And therefore, by going there, Elimelech could feel at ease. He didn't have to feel guilty, because no one gave any charity there. It was unheard of. Moav is, the Vilna Gaon says, I'm not sure where, but I've heard this before, that Moav is Gematria 49. Right? It was the place of absolute tumah. And this was where Rus was going to come from. This was where David HaMelech, the whole royal dynasty, was going to come from. It was all going to come from the place of Moab. It was really the worst place on earth. And that's where he went, because he could feel, he could merge in with society. But the problem was, the idea was he went there temporarily by Yehiyushon, but he eventually settled in there, he felt comfortable there, and he had no intention of going back.
49 what? Tumah also. You said Gematria 49.
Yeah, that's the idea. 49 tumah. Yeah, that's why I was right. So Pasuk Gimel, once he decided that he wasn't going back, so Hashem said, look, you're not going back to Eretz Yisrael, so fine. But Yama said, Imarachish Nomi, you're not going back to Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to stay in Moab much longer either, we're going to take you from the world. Vayama said, Imarach, and Elimelech died, Ish Nomi, the husband of Nomi. Says the Malbim, because he was a very, very rich man, you know, very, very rich man. And had he died as a rich man, he would have, what would they would have lamented him, bemused him as a great philanthropist, right? Whether he was in Moab, especially in Eretz Yisrael, where he was known, he died penniless. We'll see soon in Pasuk Hey that Hashem first took their money. The idea obviously being Hashem was trying to send them a message, the money is mine. You're running away because you don't want to give you your money, it's my money. So Hashem took away their money first. We'll see in Pasuk Hey, the Medrash learns from the Pasuk there. But so the money was taken, so therefore he was penniless, he was bankrupt. Had he died in Eretz Yisrael, at least he would have been known. But here in Moab, he was unknown. So therefore, he died as Ish Nomi. He died as the husband of Nomi. Nomi apparently was known better than he was. So when people said Elimelech, everyone said, who's Elimelech? Elimelech died, who's that? They said, oh, the husband of Nomi. They said, ah, right? He went there as a very important man, but he died as just the husband of Nomi. But Yishayir hi u'shnei bonel. As ironic as it was, she remained, she and her two children remained. Right? Now, normally, you don't say the remain, if you give somebody, let's say, a plate for supper full of food, right? And they take one spoonful, you wouldn't say that's the remainders, right? The remainders normally implies that the majority is gone, and what's behind is the minority. Here you have the majority left behind. So the Medrash says, both the Malbim and the Vilna Gaon all explain the same idea, they explain this Medrash, you find the same idea by the Korban Mincha. The Korban Mincha, you offer up just not even a fistful, a komet, right? Not even a fistful. And the rest of it is called, the Torah calls it the Shirayim, the leftovers. That seems illogical. The answer is very obvious, because the main part is the part which goes on the Mizbeach, the part which goes on the altar. So therefore, the rest of it is called Shirayim because that's just subordinate. So to here, they only went, this is what I think what the Vilna Gaon and the Malbim are trying to get at, they only went because of him. They didn't actually go because they wanted to go to Moab, they went because of him. So therefore, he was the main figure here, and therefore they're just referred to as the Shirayim. But as I said, within the same Pasuk, as I said, quite ironic, that they went as just being subordinate, but he ended up, when he died as a subsidiary to her. He was just known as Ish Nomi. So it continues in Pasuk Dalet. And they married Moabite women who had not converted at that point. The Malbim says that if it had they converted, it said vayichu lahem, they took for themselves. Right? He says the majority of cases you'll find vayichu, if they're Jewish, would say vayichu. Vayisum implies that they had not converted. So shem ho achas orpa, the name of one of them was orpa. V'shem hashenis rus, and the name of the second one was rus. Now, it's put in that order, the Malbim says, because the younger one, Chilion was the younger one, he married Orpah. And Machlon, the older one, he married Rus. Now, the order of marriage was very significant, because they were going to be criticized for having having married them in this state, not having converted them. And Orpah was, had it been the other way around, says it could have been justified. Why? Let me explain. The Malbim says that there's two things. Number one, who got married first was the younger one. So at least in those days, definitely the brothers respected their elders, and had Machlon voiced his objection to it, Chilion wouldn't have done it. So that was number one why they were held accountable, because Machlon should have objected, and apparently he didn't. But number two was, Rus, we know, was a very, very righteous woman. As we're going to assume, we know she was the, right? So had Machlon married Rus first, then Chilion could have justified his marriage. He said, look what Machlon's done, he's married Rus. He obviously saw qualities in her, look what he's got an amazing wife. Look at Rus, you know, look what he's got. So I'm going to do the same, I'll marry Orpah. Orpah, as we'll see, was not quite as righteous as Rus, to say the least. So he could have justified it, but it didn't go that order. Chilion married Orpah, and as we said, Orpah wasn't so righteous. So therefore, I mean, although she did go initially, we'll see, but she went straight back to Avodah Zorah afterwards. So how could Machlon then be so sure when he married Rus that it would be a successful marriage? Yes, on the face of it, it all seemed she would be a very righteous woman, but how could he be so sure? And therefore, because of these two tainas, that was going to be two claims against them, which was going to be held against them. And they dwelled there for about 10 years. Right? Simply translated for about 10 years. Why, again, the idea being they showed no intent of going back to Eretz Yisrael. But I think perhaps I'd like to suggest why 10 years, what was the significance of 10 years, could be that Chazal tell us, although I will say it doesn't, nowadays there are lots of other factors to take into account, but Chazal do tell us that if a couple have been married for 10 years and they haven't had children, then they should consider divorce. Or we find with Abraham Avinu that they went, the idea of going to Eretz Yisrael changes mazel, right? As I said, there are other factors, and nowadays we see many cases where people have been married longer than 10 years and they had children after that. This is just what Chazal tell us. So Hashem gave them 10 years, as if to say, look, I want to see what you're going to do at the end of 10 years. I'm sending you a big hint here, right? Are you going to go back to Eretz Yisrael? They didn't go back to Eretz Yisrael. Are you going to sort out your marriage? They didn't sort out their marriage. Once they showed that, so Hashem said, fine, I've given you your chance. And carries on Pasuk Hey, by Yom Musa Gam Shneihem, and both of them die. What's the gum? The inclusive gum. So the Medrash tells us that from the extra word gum, it tells us that Hashem first got rid of their money. He made them bankrupt. That was the first warning. And once they didn't take heed of that, then Hashem took their lives. The idea being, as we said, because they went to Moab, the land of materialism, because they didn't want to give stock in any melech originally, but they continued in this pursuit, this idea in life, and therefore Hashem sent the hint. They didn't take it, so Vayamusa, they both died. Machlin v'chilion. Why the name is Machlin v'chilion? So the Medrash says, the Loshon Machlin is a Loshon of chulin, profane, and chilion is a Loshon of kiloyin, to be destroyed, right? The Vilna Gaon says, but how do you know that both apply to both? Right? See, so that's the extra word gum. That's how he explains gum. Gum comes as if you want an umbrella, which puts the machlin, applies to chilion, and chilion applies. Both of them were equally in this. But again, using the introduction we had, we can understand why. What's chilion? What does it mean they profane themselves? Right? I can understand chilion, chiloyin, they were. What's chilion? They made themselves profane. The answer is you've got the holy neshama within, and you've got the guf, which comes from the ground.
So it says how the God reads the gum, does that mean he doesn't hold that their money was gone before they died?
Yes, two different approaches. The Medrash is one, he's giving a slightly different approach. It's also based on a Medrash. He's explaining how two different approaches.
I mean, his names, it's always Mr. Family. Okay, we can give these Midrashic Shasmas to what's the nice family names. Why did the parents give these names?
Oh, yeah, exactly. So either maybe they had other names, and this is what maybe they had other names, that's one possibility. I'm suggesting the other possibility is maybe, I mean, although it seems strange, we know that when a person gives a child a name, there's a spark of Ruach HaKodesh. And this could be already, maybe they have other significance to the names as well. There's two possibilities. You often find that a name can have two opposite signs. So maybe Machlen has, I don't know, maybe you could think of some other play on the word which would imply a good sense.
Machel, a dance.
Right, maybe, right. Yeah, Kiloy, maybe Loshon of Kol, everything was there, whatever I'm saying. So maybe there was a good side to it, but they used their Bechira, they used their free choice to take the bad option. Right, so perhaps that's the idea there.
Wasn't it another language?
Which one?
The names would be from another language.
You're saying if they were from Loeb?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that ties in either, yeah.
Machlon is from Tilnus.
Yeah.
Machlo,
yeah.
Bakilio, and they both were determined to die young.
I wasn't sure the measure. I mean, it says chulin, it could be chulin as well, as in ill. But either a bit chulin, the idea of chulin profaning is because they allowed their guf to form a barrier between the neshama and Hashem, therefore they were profaned. They lost any sense of holiness.
Because they wouldn't give stocker. Yeah.
Yeah, because they wouldn't give stocker. They went to more of a land of materialism. So as the Vilna Gaon says, if the guf stands at its ground, and that creates a barrier between the neshama and Hashem. And you can take it a stage further, is that a person, obviously you can't go on in life with this conflict the whole time. One is going to be in the driving seat. So much so that, I mean, that there's a medrash, in fact, last week's Sedrin, either Tazria, but I think it's Tazria, which says that if a person is meritorious, then he precedes creation. Whereas if he's not meritorious, then even the earthworm, even the mosquito, the gnats, whatever, comes before him. So my great-grandfather, Noach Siegel, he asks, says two things. Number one, we're a bit late. I mean, creation was 5,769 years ago. We're a bit late. Number two is, my dahava hava. That's the first question. The second question is, so let's say you've got somebody who's really a Rosh or Marushi. He's the most evil person you can imagine. And he does teshuva, and he becomes very righteous. So how can you change the order of creation? What happened? So he answers with this idea, that a person has this conflict going on between them, right? I once heard from Reb Chaim Yosef Gurwitz, he said, I don't know, it's Chazal maybe, that's why a human being walks on two legs. An animal walks on four legs, most of them are on four, all four, because they're pulled down to the ground. Whereas a human has got a conflict within him. The neshama's pulling him up, because it wants to go to Hashem, and the guf wants to come down to the ground, so he's pulled upright. I suppose that's why when a person is nifter, that's why they assume a horizontal position, because the neshama's now left the body. So, But this conflict can't, you know, what happens if this conflict continues? So then there's has to be, like, if you want, like, the splitting of the atom, he said, there's got to be a burst of energy, right? And he says that was the idea why in Kelm or Chelm they were so particular about tidiness and things like that, so much so that I think it was the Alt of Kelm, I'm not sure who it was, he came to see his son in Yeshiva, and he travelled a long way, and he came there, and the boy said, do you want me to go and get him from the Beis HaMedrash? He said, no, I checked his room, it's all tidy, I'm going back. They said, but you've come all the way? He says, no, I just came to see how he's learning. If everything's neat and tidy, I know that obviously everything is fine. What's Peshad? Because if there's this conflict, then there has to be a burst of energy, and the pyjamas get slung here, the socks here. So therefore, he said, that's the idea. He says, you can't. So therefore, one of two things is going to be true in this case. If everything's tidy, then either you've got the... Because he said, what about the Germans, Yimach Shem? What about the Nazis? They were very, very organized. He said, yeah, that was because there any spiritual element within them had become completely bottle and mavutal, completely nullified to their good. Whereas hopefully what we're looking to do is to make it the other way around. That our neshama is in the driving seat, is in front, and the guf just stands behind, follows in its... when we eat, it will be because we want to be able to serve Hashem better, whatever it is. Sleep and earn a paranoia, it's all so we can serve Hashem. So therefore, if a person is, let's say, a Rosha, it's no contradiction now, the Medrash. If a person is a Rosha, pshat is that his guf, it's as if he's only got a guf, because the neshama is not there, for all intents and purposes, not there. So if it's a goof, when were we created? We were created last in creation. Whereas if a person goes, he does teshuvah and he becomes an absolute tzaddik, so now the goof stands behind the neshama, and it's as if you've only got a neshama. So therefore, you've got only a neshama. Neshama is a chedek of Hashem. It's the chedek of Hashem. Hashem has always been here before creation. Obviously, he's always been here. So therefore, that's the idea here. So therefore, going back to our idea, going back to the Megillah, now you've got the idea of chulin is b'shat is because they went off, they pursued materialism. So therefore, it was as if they only had the guf, they only had the body, and therefore they became chulin, they became profane. The neshama had, if you want, had sort of been bottled up. So it carries on pasuk. And the woman, i.e. the wife, Naomi, and she remained behind from her two children and her husband. She had been bereaved of both of them. So once that had happened, in other words, again, vatishoyer, loshen of shirai, and this time it does make sense, but again, the same idea could be is because she was only there because of her husband, then her two children, she stayed behind, they wanted to stay there, but now they had all gone, she said she had no more reason to stay there, she made up her mind, she was going back to Eretz Yisrael, and that's Pasuk Vav. V'atokom hi v'chadeseho, both she and her daughters-in-law got up. Note, they all got up. In other words, they had all made the decision, they had to leave Moab. It was a bad muzzle, right? Rus and Orpah also decided this wasn't a good place to stay. It was a bad muzzle, so they decided they had to get up and go. But Toshol missed the day. She was the only one which actually returned from the field of Moab. She made up her mind she was going back to Eretz Yisrael. As far as Rus and Orpah were concerned, at this point, they thought the Malbim says they could go somewhere else in Moab. They could just change the location. It would be a change of location would provide a better muzzle. So they thought they could go elsewhere. But she wasn't just looking for a change of muzzle. She wanted to go back to the land of Hashem. Kishama Orbis de Mayov. Two possibilities. The first I go with the Malbim and then the Vilna Gaon. Both give beautiful ideas here. Kishama Orbis de Mayov. She heard in the fields of Mayov. Kifokat Hashem Esamod. Hashem had remembered, had delivered his people, Los Islam Lochem, to give them bread. There's two psukim. There's one pasuk which says, Ki lo yitesh Hashem Esamod. Hashem does not forsake his people. Right? Vesnachados Aleazo. He doesn't forsake his heritage. There's another pasuk which says, "Ki lo yitesh Hashem esamo, but avur shemay hagadol," because of his great name. Says the Malbim, how do you reconcile? Is it because of his great name, or just because we're his people? He says, if we're meritorious, then it's because we're his people. He wouldn't forsake us because he loves us. If, however, we're not meritorious, then Hashem does it in order to sanctify his name, because we obviously are the conduits to bring about the glory of Hashem, and therefore he does it to save his great name. So therefore, when Rus heard, where did she hear from that Hashem had remembered his people, had stopped the famine? It definitely wasn't from the people in Moab. They wouldn't say Kifokat Hashem, the Hashem, as you remember. They were atheists. I mean, they definitely didn't believe in Hashem. So the Medrash says it was from peddlers who came from Eretz Yisrael selling their merchandise. She heard from them. So she said like this, why has Hashem remembered them? The Medrash says the reason why the famine has come about, according to the Medrash, was because there was a lack of justice. The whole judicial system was corrupt. And people were judging the judges, right? People, the subjects. So therefore... As a result of that, that's why the famine came about. So she wanted to know, why has Hashem stopped the famine? Is it because of his great name? In other words, they haven't done teshuvah, in which case there's no point going back, because the famine may come, they'll just come back again. Or is it because they've done teshuvah and Hashem's remembering them because we are his people? He loves us, we're his cherished people, we have done teshuvah, So when she heard Kifokad Hashem Asamoed, Hashem had just remembered his people, she said, now is the time to go back. Because obviously they've done Teshuvah and it's worth going back. That's what the Malbim says. The Vilna Gaon says also a beautiful idea here. He says that Kishoma or Bistemavi, sometimes Shemio we translate as hearing. It can also mean understanding. She understood in the field of the Moav, Kifokat Hashem Asamoed, Hashem delivers his people, he remembers his people, i.e. he remembers his people. The idea being like this, she had gone to Moav in order to find materialism, not she but her husband. They'd gone because they wanted Gashmias. Where does Gashmias all come from? It comes from Eretz Yisrael. Where we're told that everything Hashem, all the Gashmias in the world, is all channeled through Klal Yisrael and through the Jewish people, through Eretz Yisrael. I once saw, I think it's the Marbit, but I'm not sure because I haven't found it again. But I think it's in Alam Michlio. He says, I think it's on the words Le'achol Mepriyo V'Lispeya Mitzuvo. He says on those words that we eat from its fruit and we get satisfied from its goodness. That means in everywhere in the rest of the world. It all comes from the goodness. The whole of Alam Michlio is talking about Eretz Yisrael. We eat from its goodness. Peshat is we take from the goodness, right? The bounty, the abundance which comes down goes through Eretz Yisrael and then spreads to the rest of the world. So she understood in the field of Moav. She said, what am I doing in Moav? I come here because I'm looking for, we're coming here to look for money and things like that. It all comes through Eretz Yisrael anyway. It doesn't come to Moav, it comes through the Jewish people. So therefore, Kifokad Hashem Asamoed, she understood in the field of Moav. She said, what am I doing here? Hashem delivers his people, Ayer B'nai Yisrael, Lot Yisrael Lochem, to give them the bread, and that's where Moav get it from. It all comes, so she said, what's the point? Let's go back to the source. And she went back to Eretz Yisrael. So, Pasuk Zayin, again, says the Malbim, same idea again, that she went out of the place that she was there. Again, because it became more of a permanent abode. And her two daughters-in-law went with her. Again, the same idea as the Malbim, because when it came to the Yetziah, going out of there, everyone was united in that idea. They were all unanimous, we have to leave. But they went on the way, on the path, to return to the land of Yehuda. So the Malbim, only when they reached the end of the sort of the crossroads, when they reached the borders of Moab, only at that point did Rus and Orpah, they said, look, we've come, now the path leads up to Eretz Yisrael. Now they made up their minds, they're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon says that, he says something else, I don't remember now what he says, but I think he says, Vatelach no Vaderech, I think he says that, no, I don't remember what he says now. So, but Posaches, Vatomen Naomi, Lishtecha Leseho, and Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Lechno shobno isha leves emo. Go back, right? Return to each woman to the house of her mother." Now it says the Malbim here that he was saying two things. Number one, she understood, Naomi understood that they were coming just to accompany her. She thought they'd come to Eretz Yisrael and then they'd go back. She said, don't do that. Just, you've accompanied me this far, fine, you go back now. As for where should you go, because as we said, they all decided they had to change their where they were living. So she said, look, instead of going some other place, go back to your mother's house, right? Why? Because you see me as a mother figure to you. Therefore, you obviously are attached. You want a mother, so go back to your mother, right? That's what the Malbim says. According to the Vilna Gaon, as we'll see, he understood that they were. It was more than that. She understood that they were accompanying her to this point. I think at this point she understood. Now she thought until this point they were accompanying her, but now they showed they weren't accompanying her. They were coming to Eretz Yisrael. So at this point she tries to dissuade them. A slight difference, but the difference will widen a bit soon as to what exactly she understood from them. That will come in the next couple of psukim.
They weren't Jewish anyway, were they?
At this point, not. No. At this point, not. Yeah.
Why are they in Moab? Oh, you said mother because she saw herself as a.
Yeah, as a, according to the Malbim, we'll see soon. There's another reason. I'm not sure why the Malbim doesn't say it already at this point. We'll see in the next pasuk. He gives another reason why the mother's house. Yeah, we can say it already at this point, but we'll just hold on one pasuk. So then she said, "Yas Hashem imochem chesed. Hashem should do kindness with you. Ka'asher asisem im hamisim imodi, as you have done with the deceased and with me." What was the kindness she did with the deceased, with Machlan and Nechilia, sorry, that they did with them, is that apparently it was standard practice in those days that the burial shrouds and the funeral costs and everything, they all came from the money of the deceased. They said, we'll pay for it. That was the chesed, so I think the Medrash says. What's the chesed they did with Naomi? Is that they forewent the kesuba, right? They forewent the kesuba, which presumably would have been quite a large sum, especially they were, as we said, they were princesses, so therefore, they were probably... But they were bankrupt, and they said, because normally would have had to pay for it, because Machlen and Chilion didn't have any money, so normally would have had to pay up. They forwent it. She said, look, you've already done a great chesed with me and the Mesim. Hashem will definitely repay you, right? According to the Vilna Gaon, she was saying a bit more. She was saying that I can't repay you. I'm completely bankrupt. Somebody who's bankrupt, Chazal tell us, is like a mace. Right? I can't repay you anyway. So therefore, leave it up to Hashem. Hashem will definitely repay you. Carries on in Pasuk Tes.
You're using the word ksubal. We can't say that literally, can we?
Why? Because he's saying it wasn't. But they presumably, when they married her, they wouldn't have just said, well, they obviously thought their marriage was a good marriage.
They had a prenuptial agreement.
Yeah. I mean, it was practice. I mean, it wasn't actually binding. It wasn't binding. It could be they wrote out a ksuba, but it wasn't actually in the same sense.
The equivalent of a ksuba.
Yeah.
Equivalent.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something else? Sorry.
Yeah.
The word ya'as with the
ksuba,
the missing
here. I don't know. Neither says anything, so I'm trying to stick the. I'm not sure yet. Okay. I mean, it's possible. I mean, just thinking that it's possible that the hay is the letter for which Hashem created this world. I mean, perhaps after the Shabbat, there's what could be said with that is that you're removing the hay, taking in the hay, right? If you're pursuing the glory of Hashem, that's putting the hay there, which is obviously to do with going to Moab, coming back from Moab. So perhaps something in that. But Yitain Hashem Lochem, positive test. Yitain Hashem Lochem. Hashem should give to you. This was the, according to the Malbim, this is over and above the chesed, which is deserving. According to the Vilna Gaon, this is the chesed. What is the chesed? U'mitzenu menucha, that each of you should find tranquility, peace, isha beis isha, each woman in the house of her husband. What does this mean? He says that when a woman was, when she was widowed, in those days, if they had intention to get remarried, they would go back to their mother's house. Sorry, their father's house normally. But in their case, since especially in a place like Moab, they wouldn't have known who their fathers were. It was so immoral. So therefore, they would have gone back to as I said, especially in a place like Moab, and therefore they would have gone back to their mother's house. That's, I mean, I'm not sure why he waits for this apostle to say it, but that's why she said earlier, "Shalav Esimor." If she had no intention of getting married, then she would just go and live on her own. So the bracha she was giving them was that they should find tranquility in the house of their husbands. This should be the last time they should have to go back to their mother's house. From now on, they should have a long, happy marriage till, you know, Admi Olba Esrim, and therefore they should be in the find rest and security in the house of their husbands.
Did they have the same mother?
Who? Rus and Orla?
Yeah.
We had this last time. I think the Medrash, there is an opinion they were sisters.
There was a true sister of father and mother.
I don't know. I think it just says they were sisters. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chazal tells us that Rus was a descendant of Eglon. It doesn't say by, but I suppose it could be. It's not so significant. I don't know. But Ishak Lohen, and she kissed them as a departing gesture. But Isemel Kedon, Matzikana, and they raised their voices and they began to cry. But Omar Nolo, and they said to her, Rus and Orpah said to Naomi, Ki etzach no shub la'amich. We're coming back with you. We will return with you to your people. Now, according to the Malbim, they didn't mention anything about converting at this point. They just said, we're coming back to your people. According to the Vilna Gaon, as I said, we're probably going to go more with the Malbim, but he says that the Vilna Gaon learns they were saying already they were going to convert. They were saying, however, like this, is if there's ulterior motives, then they're not accepted, right? In the future, it says in the times of Moshiach, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, that in the future, everyone's going to want to convert, because Moshiach's going to be here, and we're not going to accept them, because it's obviously for ulterior motives. So they said like this, if we come back on our own, we say we want to convert, they may reject us, because they'll say, obviously, the famine stopped, but maybe we're coming back with you, you can put in a good word for us. Right? That's how the Vilna Gaon learns. So I said, according to the Malbim, they haven't said anything about wanting to be misguided yet. So, Pasuk Yudalev, Vatome and Naomi, and Naomi said, Shob no venosai, go back, my daughters. Right? Once again, go back to your mother's house. Lomo silach me, why do you want to go with me? According to the Malbim, in other words, why do you want to accompany me? What are you, according to now, it's not going to be accompanying. Why do you want to come to live amongst my people? Because according to the Malbim, that's what they meant. We're coming with you, we're not just coming to accompany, we're coming to live amongst your people. So what's the point? No one's going to marry you anyway, because at this point they haven't said they're going to convert, so no one's going to marry you. You may say, but maybe, look, I love you so much, I would give you of my children, but do I have children in my womb, which should be to you as men, as husbands? Now the Malbim says, it's an interesting rule he says, he writes it elsewhere, I think somewhere in Sefer Yikra, I think he says, that wherever it says Bonim, Bonim is never given to a fetus, to a pregnant woman. Ben is only once they've already been born. So he says, it would seem to contradict it over here, because it says Bonim Bemei, in my womb. So he says, it could be it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, I'm not sure, but he says, what she was saying was like this, Ha'oli Bonim, let me say the word Bemei a minute, do I have children, which are already grown, old enough, that they could be to you as men. You may say, where are they? But may I? Am I hiding them in my womb that suddenly they'll pop out? Right? I don't know whether I said, maybe it's a bit tongue-in-cheek. That's how he explains it in the Pasuk here. But either way, in other words, do I have ready-grown men who are ready to marry you? In other words, I've got no one for you. So you may say, before we go on to Pasuk base, you may say, okay, you know what? So go get married, get another husband, have children, and we'll wait. So she said, go back, my daughters, go. Kizokanti miyos the ish. I'm too old to get married to have children. Why? So again, in the Malbim says, based on the Medrash, I think, that apparently if a woman has been divorced or been widowed for 10 years, then she will not have children unless one of two things. That's one thing. She has intention to get remarried. If she has at the back of mind, she wants to get remarried, then no problem. But if she's been divorced or, I think, been widowed for 10 years, and she has absolutely no plan whatsoever, she's already made up her mind, she's never going to get remarried, Chazal say that she won't have children. So she said like this, I'm too old to get married unless one of two things. This is how he explains it in the Pesukim. Ki omarti yesh li sikvo, unless I were to have said that I have hope of getting remarried, or gam hoyisi halaylo le'ish, if tonight, if I were to get married to a man, and almost because the Malbim says, we said ke'esh shalom is about 10 years, this was the last night of the 10 years, he says. If I were to get married tonight, I could still have children. Either that or if I were to have had hope. He says, so let's say one of these two would be true. Let's say I were to either have had hope, or tonight I was going to get married. V'gam yolad tivonim. And let's say even I were to have children. Right? Let's say that would all happen. Right? To have sons even. Yeah, correct. You'd have to have sons. That's another point. You'd have to have sons. Exactly. So, Posekut Gimel. She says, but still, halohin tisaberno. Do you want to, Loshen Saberno is a Loshen Sibru, we say in the Halalukah, the first one. Sibru means, the Malbim says, means expectation, waiting for something which may never come to fruition. Are you honestly going to wait, Adashe Yigdolu, until they grow up? They may never reach adulthood, right? Nowadays we take it for granted, much more for granted. In those days, many children didn't. So you're going to wait, not one, you're going to wait. That in itself is something. But you don't know if they're ever going to reach adulthood. Halohinte Ogeno, are you going to tie yourselves down, Rashi says, not to get remarried to a man. Al benesai, do not my daughters, or al can also mean alalai. And for us to say, it could be a loshen of alalai. I think maybe Rashi says that. Right. He doesn't say it, so it's in the Malbim, I think then. It can also be a loshen of alalai. Woe to you, my daughters. Ki marli ma'ot mekem. The Poshim shouted, and I think this is how the Vilna Gaon learned, is ki marli ma'ot mekem. It is more bitter for me than you. Ki yotza oviyat Hashem. Even though the hand of Hashem has gone out against me, even though I've already been bereaved of my husband and my two children and I'm completely bankrupt, that pain is nothing compared to the pain which it would cause me. An amazing show of concern for others. It would cause me more pain to see you not getting remarried and building up a family than the pain I've already undergone.
Why did you call them my daughters? Was it in...
A notion of love.
And giving my children to you. A Jewish woman wouldn't give it to her Jewish sons. Non-Jewish women.
Yeah, no. So this is what she's going on. The Malbim says this is all going on. Things she's saying. Even if you were to expect me to give it, obviously she'd expect them maybe. This is all going with the even if in sort of in the best scenario, best case scenario. But the Malbim says here that she was saying a bit more than this. She was saying for me it's worse than you. It's been worse for me because kiyotza in the past tense. The hand of Hashem has already gone out against me. She says there's nothing more he can do against me. He's already taken the life of my husband, my two children, all the money I had. I've got nothing more in the world. Right? There's nothing for me in this world. Whereas you're still young. You've still got opportunity. Hashem can still punish you more. So don't come with me. She says, you go back because I've already endured much more suffering than you. There's nothing more Hashem can do to me. Whereas you, if you come with me, you're running the risk that it could go worse for you. That's how he explains it. So he continues in, and also, Kiyotza v'yad Hashem, Rashi says, I'll try and explain this in literally 1 or 2 minutes, just the idea that Rashi says that Kiyotza of Yad Hashem, the idea of Yad Hashem is always found by pestilence, we find in the Makkos. Right? Apparently they died with pestilence. Now the question is, what's the significance of pestilence? So I'd like to suggest, this is just a bit more Machshavadik, I'll try and sort of in 1 or 2 minutes, just bekitzer, that what's the word for pestilence is deva. Now the word deva, the root of the word deva, dalet beis resh, is dovor, is an article, right? It's also the same root, pretty much, as the word dibur, right? As in a word. Now it's well known that especially only in the real Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, the article and the name for the article are very much connected. Now dovor is the physical item. The dibur is something not tangible, it's something more spiritual, right? So then what Hashem does is, the idea being that, I suppose when you look at this table, you say, shulchan is somehow, I don't know, we're not on such levels, to know somehow this links to something much more spiritual, right? If, however, you completely block out the spirituality, it becomes just a dovor, then there's deva. Hashem kills off the physical side of it. Where am I basing this on? Take a look at the pasuk by deva in Mitzrayim. It says, Yad Hashem Hayob, what's the pasuk? In a Yad Hashem Hayob Miknecha, Asher Basod, Basusim, Bachamerim, it's all the animals in the fields, it's all nature, right? Everything is the tilling of the ground. Hashem's going to kill off all of that. That's what pestilence is, right? What does it say there? Ki in a Yad Hashem Hayob, the name Hayob, and besides Yad Hashem is obviously used, same is the same letter said Yud Kei Vavke, right? It's to show, going back to what we said at the beginning, it's to show the Havaya, the infinite, the ongoing idea of Hashem, if you want, the neshama of this thing within. By removing the physical side of it, then you'll see the hand of Hashem. I can bring a further backing to this, is because Chazal tell us, and I don't want to get too sidetracked here, but the 10 plagues correspond to the 10 marmorim with which the world was created. Each plague was to uncover, Gedalia Sher speaks about this, is to uncover the depths behind one of the masks of the marmorim. And if you work it backwards, Deva corresponds to the fourth day of creation, when Hashem created the sun, or put in place at least the sun and the moon, right? Which is day and night. What's the idea of night? The Vilna Gaon says the darkest moment of the night is the last moment, just before Aleph Shachar, just before the daybreak. What happens? Then suddenly the sun comes and shines through the day. In other words, when you get to the moment of absolute darkness, that's what Godless represents, right? It's a lack of revelation of Hashem. Then the sun shines through. Hashem is kaviyachol forced to remove the darkness by showing his hand, by shining through his light, right? That's the same idea, right? The idea in removing the susim b'chamorim is to show the infinite hand of Hashem. That was the whole idea of the Marcus. So too here, they went to Moab, they were pursuing their own kochi v'etzem yodi, again, according to their madriga, but this was the idea which was going on here, they went after materialism. To try and, if they were suffocating the neshama, the infinite nature of the, as we said, the yudke vovke within. So what Hashem did was, there was deva. They were killed in order to show that Hashem is the ultimate one. Hashem is all the money, this world belongs to Hashem, and he controls as well. So there's more which can be said on it, but that's just to get some sort of idea on it. Pasuk Yudalit. Vatisen al kolon, and they raised their voices, vatifken al oed, and they cried furthermore, vatishak orpo lachamusok, and orpo she kissed her mother-in-law as if to say goodbye, because as we see here, she only went because she thought there was some gain for her. When she realized there was no gain for her, she went back. Verus dovko boh, and Rus, she clinged to her mother-in-law because she wasn't going for any ulterior motives. She genuinely wanted to go and discover Judaism. She wanted to go up to Eretz Yisrael. Posuk Tesvov, Vatomen, she said, Hine shovo yivim teich, behold, your sister-in-law has gone back, she's returned, El amoch ve'erer Eloheho, to her people and to her gods, to her deities. You see here straight away, she went back, and what did she go back to? Avodah Zarah. So you see, Orpa wasn't quite as, she was rewarded for it, we know she was rewarded with Golias later on, right, with Golias, the 40 days, because, right, she was rewarded for it, but I think it was with Golias she was rewarded, but nonetheless she still did go back to her Avodah Zarah, and therefore Naomi was saying, presumably you're going to do the same anyway, she was saying to Ruth, so why are you coming? Go back, shuvi acharei v'yemtech, go back after your sister-in-law, stick together with her, what's the point? You're going to come and then you're going to go back, you'll lose her, go back. Vatomer Rus, and Rus said, al tifke'ivi, do not beseech on me. Now the loshon pigia can mean a loshon of killing, it can also be a loshon of beseeching, right? Yeah, exactly. It's filler. It's got a third meaning as well, but the Malbim says that really goes together with beseeching, the idea of increasing. So he says, and based on a Medrash, he says two things. Don't kill me spiritually by telling me not to come with you, and also do not keep, constantly telling me go back, go back. I'm not going back. To forsake you, to go from behind you. Right? In other words, I'm coming with you. Right? If you don't take me, I'll go anyway. According to, the Vilna Gaon says over here, the idea is, look, if I don't walk with you, I'll walk behind you. I'm going anyway. Right? You can't stop me. There's a few possibilities here. I'll just translate literally, and then we'll go through the possibilities. To where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people are my people. And your God is my God. And just continue slightly. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. Now the Malcolm says that this, you see here, she was expressing an amazing, amazing pshat, she was expressing in this two psukim her belief in the fundamentals of Yiddishkeit. Ki erashet helichi elich, where you go, I will go. Right? In other words, don't think that I'm going for some other reason. You're going back to Eretz Yisrael because you love Hashem, I'm going back there as well. For the same reason. Uvashet holini olin. Wait, how do you view this world? As a lino. We're here overnight. We're not here because this is our permanent place. We're here, this is a corridor to the next world. I view it the same way. Amich ami, your people is my people. You got 630 mitzvahs? I'm also taking those on. Verukai cherekoi. Your God is my God, right? In other words, I'm accepting Hashem as God, no more Avodah Zarah, fine, no problem. I want to die as a Jewess. Just like you die, I want to die the same way. Just like when you die afterwards, there's going to be schav enish, there's going to be right retribution, all that. I want the same thing. I want to be buried as you are buried. Amongst Jews, in other words, there's Tchiyas, I want to be zeh to Tchiyas HaMesim as well. So you see here, she's expressed, unbelievable, right? Everything here, she's shown her belief in God. She believes in the idea of reward and punishment afterwards, 613 mitzvahs. Tchiyas HaMesim, it's all here, right? All within these psukim. The main fundamentals of this difference of opinion is how many, right? The Rambam and others, but all the main ones she's expressed here. She believes there's something after death as well. And now she continues and she says, so too Hashem should do to me, and so you should continue. In other words, because if I don't do this, you may say to me, well, what difference? Look, I love you very much, we'll stick together, we'll keep in contact and everything, there'll be a bond of love between us. Yeah, that's fine, we're the same during lifetime. But what happens after death? What's going to happen after death? We're going to have a completely different sense of, right? You're going to go one way, I'm going to go the other way. I want to be able to go like you. That's what the Malbim says. According to the Vilna Gaon, he just translates these last things a bit different. She was saying like this. She was saying, what are you telling me? You're telling me don't come. You're telling me don't come because of all the, you know, why do you want to become a Jew? Look at all the things you're going to have to undertake or whatever, right? Because she was trying to dissuade her. She was saying, look, after death, if I don't get punished in this world, so what, Hashem's going to do the same to me afterwards, right? I'd rather receive my punishment in this world. I'd rather suffer what I have to suffer in this world, so that after I die, I can live as a Jew. I will come back as a Jew. And that's a similar idea, but slightly different. He says in there, the last idea is that Rashi already brings is the Medrash. She was saying, it's interesting why she picks these ones. Some of them I can explain, one or two of them I can't. For where you go on Shabbos, I will go. The idea of Tchum Shabbos. Why that one? I'm not 100% sure. With Asher Tolini Olin, she was saying is the Issa of Yichud, where you can stay, I can stay. But that idea, I think I can explain. Is the idea is going back to what we said? Is they all fall in line. It's perhaps from Shabbos as well. We haven't worked out yet why. But she was saying is the idea of marriage, right? Yichud is the idea is the kedusha of marriage, right? That a person has got their wife, and that's what they stay with, not with other women. That's something which is the idea of the building of the neshama and the guf, right? The woman is often referred to as the guf, and the man is the neshama, right? The idea that's the idea in that. There was another idea I can't think of now, but it's the same. Oh yeah, it was also the idea of yichud is to protect from immorality and things like that, which is really is the symbolism we find elsewhere in the Gemara and Sotah. Is the idea is the symbolism of taivas haguf. I find it dry. Is the guf's sort of setting its conditions and everything. Then she says, Amich Ami, your people are my people. 630 mitzvahs, Chazal tell us. That's the sustenance for the inner body, the neshama. Same idea again. She's expressing the idea that she realizes the neshama is the ikkar. Verekai Echeleko, your God is my God, no more Avodah Zarah. The idea is the same idea. Because Avodah Zarah, one of the beliefs, you can have people who are atheists, they believe, isn't that? One of the ideas is that Hashem's up there and I'm down here. There's no connection. Hashem's all up there, Shemaim and Oretz. We believe no. Hashem is within us. He's within my very body, right? That's the idea of the neshama is a part of Hashem. V'ashet ol musi ol mus. Chazal tell us that she said, I'm prepared to take on the risk of Dalet Mises Beis Din, right? That the Beis Din could put people to death, something which we don't have nowadays, but she said, I'm prepared to take that on, right? Again, that's punishment, that's rectification for those who don't keep the 630 mitzvahs. It's punishment in this world so they won't have to suffer in the next. And then v'shomek ol there, there I will be buried. Right, this idea, okay, this is a bit more difficult to explain why she picked out this, is that of the Dalet Mises Beis Din, right, the four deaths, there's separate burial plots for the two most severe go in one place and the two less severe go in another place. That seems to follow on from that. But that's what she was expressing over here. She says, I'm coming anyway. So it carries on a possible Yidkev.
Can I ask,
yeah.
Hashet HaMini Olim, Rashi is saying it refers to Hilchus Yichud, which is interesting because the Halachas of Yichud only came much later after Amnon and Tamar.
Yeah.
There's a
question. Same. Yeah. But not all Hilchus Yechud came later.
No?
Amnon and Tamar was only with certain Hilchus Yechud was there beforehand. The Doraisa, there are some which can be Doraisa.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Machlokes, it's Tosfos and Rambam as to what it with Aroyas is Doraisa according to the Rambam, I think it is. Tosfos says not. I think it's that way around. No, the other way around. I think it's the other way around. Tosfos says Doraisa and Rambam says. But there are some which were definitely beforehand. Amnon and Tamar was, maybe that was with the non-Jewish, I think. That was, this one which came in with it, I think that was that one. There was different stages in it. Which.
Rosh is saying, I will keep the halachas of Yichud.
Yeah.
That's what she's saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of the things she was saying in it. Yeah. So, Pasuk Yudches, Vatira, and she saw, Nomi saw, Kimisametzes, Hilaleches, Eto, that she was very, Malbim says, the Loshen Chazak Be'emot, Chazak means you're strong. But Misametzes Be'emot means ongoing strength of heart. She was really up for it. Vatefta Ledabe'elo, so she ceased speaking to her. And this is where we learn from that once you can see that a person is really sincere, then you stop. You stop trying to,
change their mind.
That's it. The Gaon says a beautiful pshat here. He said, I'll bring it first with a story that also with the Vilna Gaon. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, when he wanted to set up the yeshiva of Volozhin, he went along to the Vilna Gaon and he asked him, what do you think? He came all excited. So the Vilna Gaon, I think he kept silent. I don't think he said no, but I think he kept silent. Reb Chaim Volozhiner thought, okay, obviously he's not in favor of it. So he went away and he came back, you know, he thought about it. He came back to the Vilna Gaon, much more calmed down. And the Vilna Gaon said yes. So he says, well, why before did you keep silent? He says, you can never know if a person wants to do a mitzvah, is that because the Yetzer Hara is trying to get you? He does it on credit. He gets you to do a mitzvah because he knows through that he can get you to do many avirus after that. How can you tell if that's is it genuine because that's the Yetzer Tov? He says, the answer is, let's see. If you feel light and, you know, the body, remember the Yetzer Hara has got control of your body. He's got control of your body, not the neshama. So therefore, if your body feels light and you want to run to do the mitzvah, then obviously that's the Yetzer Hara. Whereas if it's hard, let's say to get out of bed in the morning to go and daven, that's the Yetzer Hara. You know that's the Yetzer Hara. He's trying to make you, don't go and daven, etc. Right? I'm not saying if a person wants to jump out of bed in the morning, that's the Yetzer Hara trying to get you, but you've got this this thing. So he says this, beautiful touch in the words here. He says, Vatir, and she saw, ki misametes, she was toiling, it was hard for her to keep up with Normie. Right? Normie was walking and she was lagging, Rus was lagging behind, so she saw that this was genuine, it was not the Yetzer Hara. This was really genuine, she wanted to become a Geyoris. So she ceased speaking to her, to dissuade her. So Pasuk Yitzes, Vateilach no Shetayem, and both of them went, Ad Be'ona Beis Lachem, until they came to Beis Lachem. The simple explanation is that they came alone. I mean, Vayika Be'ona Beis Lachem, and it was when they came to Beis Lachem, Vateihem Kola Ir Alehem. And the whole city was in a state of activity, right, confoundment, and Rashi tells us, because that was the day they were burying the wife of Boaz, right? Everything is, the stage is being set here for Rus now to meet Boaz. Right? Just, it's not a coincidence that on that day they arrived, the wife of Boaz is being buried. And they said, is this Normie? Is this Normie? Right? Question mark, exclamation mark, right? What's happened to you? The Malbim says a bit more than that. He says it could be that Shetea means both of them, means to remember Normie when she left Eretz Yisrael, she was a very, very noble woman, very rich, but everywhere she went on red carpets, nice clothes, a whole entourage of servants. Here she comes with one Moabite woman with her. Right? Vatirim kolei alein. So therefore, Vatirach nashtem, both of them, just the two of them came. So Vatirim kolei alein. So the whole city was like, they couldn't believe what was going on here. Vatirman, and they said, is this normal? Is this normal? Another, that obviously is a different explanation than Vatirim kolei alein. Different to the Medrash.
Can I have something to, this strange word, Shetehem, with the feminine Shetei and the masculine men.
Ah, it's true, yeah.
Is there nothing on that?
None of them say anything.
Shtehem.
I mean, interestingly enough, if you look at Rashi, the Bamaskala, he's got Shtehem now.
Yeah, but
I don't know whether because.
Oh, you got it with a nun.
I've got it in a nun. I don't know if that's just a mistake. Ah, so it could be it's just a mistake.
more
likely is.
Because the Shurik says Lashon, where are we? Lashon the Kavor, your test. Can you see on the side?
It's not on my.
Yeah, here. Okay, the circle refers to that.
It could be going on the. Have a feeling it's going on something else there.
Yeah,
I don't know where that circle. I think this. Ash Tehen base Losh in the cable. He brings
yeah.
other ones. He brings other ones.
The Vayetse is very similar when Yaakov takes the layer of Lachal out of the Sotah to tell him again to leave Lavan. He's also Lashon in the
Okay. So, I mean, the other explanation is Vatilach Noshtem is also a beautiful. Rashi brings this to the Medrash. Is Vatilach Noshtem. Remember, you have Normi, she was a very, very righteous woman, Jewish from birth. And here you have Ruth, who just converted. Says the Medrash that you see from here, Vatilach Noshtem, the eyes of Hashem, they were equal. No difference. Vatilach Noshtem, says Rashi, they were completely equal. Right? As he said, they were going together, equality here. And he says that's what the Medrash says on this passage.
She's completed the game spell
now. No, and he says even more. Just because you see, even yeah, what Rashi says, Kimish Shinos not data this guy. She just made up her mind to be Misgaya. Straight away, Hashem said, "That's it. They're both equal."
Decided to convert, is it?
Yeah. The decision already was yeah.
But you made her high up.
Yeah. It's Pasuk Chav. Vatoma Adien, and she said to them. She said back to the people of Eretz Yisrael, "Al tekren oli nomi, do not call me nomi." Call me moral. Says the Marvin like this. He says, if you have, let's say, a billionaire, right? I don't know, Bill Gates, let's say. Let's say this billionaire, he lost all his money. He was left with just a million. So could you say, oh, he's a poor man, right? Never, he's only got a million now, right? You couldn't say that without mentioning what he had beforehand. Whereas if he had billions and now he's just got nothing, he's literally completely bankrupt, he's penniless, then you don't have to mention what he was beforehand. Obviously, make a bigger impression. You can still call him bankrupt either way. So they said, "Has this normally?" They had to remind themselves, this was normally what she used to be. They thought she must have something still, maybe in a bank account, she must have something there. She said, "No, Altikrenoli normally, don't call me normally. Kerenoli Mora, you don't have to remind yourself of what I was, just call me Mora, bitter. I don't have nothing. Kihimar shakai li ma'od, because Hashem has embittered me very much." She says, "Ani mireyoho lakti, I went full." Rashi brings as a medrash that she was pregnant at the time, she lost the baby. In other words, I had rich, simple shots, I had children, I had riches. And Hashem has returned me empty handed. So, Lomo Sikren Oli Nomi. Says the moment she was expressing something a bit more here now. She was saying, you know something, why do you ever call me Nomi? She says, by calling me Nomi, you imply that at one time I was rich because I should have been rich and now I've lost it. She says, why did Hashem make me rich? Not because I should have been rich. So imagine you want to threaten somebody, so if you're strong enough, you lift them off the floor and you threaten them, I'm going to drop you down if you don't do such and such. So the person doesn't feel very threatened, so you lift them up a bit higher. Right? And the higher you lift them, the more the idea of the threat gets bigger. So she says the same thing, Hashem was making me richer and richer and richer, because he was just lifting me higher and higher and higher. There's various psukim, in Tanakh, in Eob, which bring this idea. Right? It says, Lifnei Sheva Ga'on. Right? I think that's in Mishlei. Before the break comes the pride, right? In English, right? In pride comes before the fall.
Fall comes before the fall.
Yeah. So the same idea. Hashem lifted me all the way up, only because he was why? Hashem onovi. Hashem was warning me. Says that's how he explains it. He was warning me. He was telling me do teshuva, but I didn't take the message. So v'shakai here ali. Therefore, Hashem punished me very much. He dealt badly with me. I mean, that was punishment. So therefore, she said, therefore I should never really be called normie because the riches weren't mine and. In my own right, they were only given to me as a warning. That's the idea of the Malbim. The Vilna Gaon says something slightly different. He says over here that she was saying like this. I think he says Ani Mirei Ohalachti. One of his pshatim is that Hashem is although it does write Shakai here as well is Yudke Vodke. He says that if a person punishes out of Chesed, out of Rachamim, that's much worse. He says let's say you've got two children, right? And one of them never kills the other. So the father goes absolutely mad and he starts hitting the child or whatever. Are you going to say that's din or was that rachamim? Is that punishment of love or is that punishment? That's punishment of love. You say, why? The answer is not for this person. It's because of the love he had for the first son. Right? She said like this, why was I punished? Right? Is it din or is it avo? Is it out of love? It's because out of love of Hashem's love for Bnei Yisrael. We should have stayed in Eretz Yisrael to help them in their time of trouble, to give out charity to them, and we didn't. Therefore Hashem punished us. Therefore it was a punishment of love. She said, that's much worse. That's why, although it does say Shaka in the Pesukim as well, but the Nolan Gaon says that's why it says Yudke Vovke. Yudke Vovke is not din. Right, that's Shakai. So I don't know what Shakai is doing there, according to that. But he says that. The other possibility, he says, Anime Horachti, she says that when I went full. She was saying, Baruch Hashem, Hashem took me back empty handed. In other words, he punished me in this world, rather than I had to, and he still took me back. That's a, it was a chesed of Hashem that he did that for me. That's another way he explains it. And finally, Posel Chafes, Batosh of Nomi, and Nomi went back. The Malbim says that, remember, she obviously had a lot of probably land and everything in Eretz Yisrael they left behind. So people obviously would have taken it, taken over, you know, the last 10 years. So she came back to reclaim it. Rus HaMoavio and Rus, the Moabites, Chalosoh Imo, her Kalor was with her. She also went back with her to reclaim the, to reclaim it. When I say reclaim, what was her husband? Because she was the heir to her husband. Hashova Mr. De Moab, who returned from the fields of Moab, says the Malbim, because as she stayed in the fields of Moab, she couldn't have claimed it. It was only because she came back, she could reclaim this, these fields. The Hema Bol Beis Lechem, and they came to Beis Lechem, Bischilas Ketzis Arim, the beginning of the barley harvest. And here you've got a few possibilities. What the Malbim says, the significance of that is, because you may say, because in the next parak we're going to see that they went, actually Rus went into the fields as an Anio, as a poor woman to collect. How could she do that? She wasn't poor, she had land. The answer is, this was at the beginning of the harvest. And obviously their field had lain, apparently had lain fallow, so therefore they had nothing to harvest. They couldn't sow the fields, they had no food, so they were still considered, that's how he explains it. Another possibility I was thinking is, based on Rashi, is that this is the barley, this was the Ksirasa Omer, right? The Korban Omer. The Korban Omer, going back to the introduction, well, this is the sort of the Perek closes with the same idea. What's the idea of the Ksiras Omer? Again, I'll just, in a nutshell, because obviously when the Ksiras Omer, it's worth noting, is that the Omer was barley. Right? On Shavuos, we bring Shtei Alechem is wheat. What's the difference? Barley is always associated with animal food. The other thing is that the Ksiras Omer is the Ksira itself, the harvest itself, is a big mitzvah. Why is that? The answer is because there's two differences in animal, between the ways animal eats and hopefully a human being eats. Number one, as we said, is the type of food they eat. But number two is that the humans, they cut the food from the ground first. Whereas an animal just eats straight from the ground. Right? That's why what's the Ksira Sa'im? That's the start of our count up to Matan Torah. We came out of Mitzrayim and we're going to build the human being, as it were, right? We start from the animal, the guf, the body, and we sign our allegiance to Hashem by cutting the Omer. We take the animal side of us and we cut it from the ground and we raise it up one level. And then we start counting the 7 weeks up to the Shavuos. That's when we bring the Shtei Alechem. Shtei Alechem, Lechem is always associated, Lachmo Shel Torah, is the spiritual side of us. That's the human food, the real human, as I said, Odom. So therefore, that's why that's brought on Shavuos, when we become complete, we married Hashem. So therefore, this was the start of Rus's build. She was now starting her build to become the woman, the noble woman she became, towards the dynasty of David HaMelech. So therefore it was dafka at that point. She arrived in Eretz B'schilas Ketzis Omer, at the beginning, at the moment where they were cutting the Omer, which as I said is the first point. But I'll just end off with the most posh pshat, I think. I haven't seen anyone who says it, but I think it's really the most posh. It's the Vilna Gaon's normal style, definitely in Megillas Esther, is that this is just, again, this is paving the way. You see Hashem's hand in everything here. Why B'schilas Ketzis Omer? Because that was the time when Boaz were going to come back to supervise his workers, and therefore Rus was eventually going to meet Boaz. So you see how Hashem took Elimelech down to Moab in order for Rus to come back. Dafka on the day when the wife of Boaz was being buried, and Dafka on the day when they started the harvest, so that Boaz would come back, Rus would meet them, and then we'd finally come to the days of David and eventually Moshiach and David.